Without further ado, we want to thank Teen Challenge for being here on this Memorial Day weekend. And how many of you guys have never heard of Teen Challenge? Raise your hand. Wow. Today you're going to get a heavy dose of the power of God breaking through in the darkness of people's lives. So without further ado, come on up. You guys give them a hand clap this morning. So glad to have you here today.
Good morning. My name's Courtney, and I'm one of the staff members at the Women's Center. Teen Challenge has been around for about 60 years with about a little over 1,300 centers worldwide, and we represent one of those centers in Milwaukee. There's two of them there. There's the men's, and then here's the women. Each one of these ladies are walking miracles, and I'm one of those miracles. I came into Teen Challenge September of 2016. I was struggling with heroin and crack. I just lost complete hope. My dad threw me out of the house. He was tired of all the lying and the stealing. He wouldn't allow me to see my son anymore. I lost custody of him. And then two of my friends from school brought me to Teen Challenge. I struggled for quite a bit. I went through a lot of struggles for like the first 4 months of my program. But with that, it led me to completely surrendering my life to the Lord. And that's where he really started working in me. My program was about 15 months. It was the longest, hardest, but most rewarding 15 months of my life. With that, I graduated. They offered me a 9-month internship, and I completed that, and I've been staff now for about a year. It's been really a blessing. I see my son every week. I just moved into my new place. I just got married a week ago. Speaking of restoration, that's what God has done in my life. He's restored all the years the locusts have taken from me. A few days before my wedding, my mom came in, and I haven't seen my mom in 6 years, and she, my whole life struggled with alcohol, and she's been clean now for a year. So not only at the same time was he working on me, but he was working on her. So it was amazing to see her and just what God's doing in my life. It's a blessing to be able to be with these ladies every single day because I get to see the transformation in their life from day one. You know, from months and months, you know, as they go throughout the program. It's hard, but it's worth it. I just ask you today to listen with an open heart, and after you leave here, just tell somebody about the program, because somebody knows somebody that knows somebody that's struggling. So we just thank you for the opportunity to be here. We're going to play a video. The ladies are going to come up and sing some songs, so feel free to sing along with them, and they're going to share some testimonies. Thank you.
I thought my life was over.
I'll never make it to my 20th birthday.
Once a junkie, always a junkie.
I look at myself in the mirror. It just feels sick.
If it wasn't for Teen Challenge, I wouldn't be alive today.
I would not be here today. I would be dead.
Teen Challenge actually saved my life.
Once I was blind, but now I see.
It's dramatic as day and night.
We've heard mothers say, I have my son back. I have my daughter back.
Children have their moms and dads again.
This is a place where miracles happen. And my family is one of those miracles.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come.
Teen Challenge, 50 years of miracles. In the United States, there are now over 200 Teen Challenge locations.
Many times family members will ask, well, what is a day like in Teen Challenge? What will my kids do?
Students will generally begin the day at Teen Challenge with breakfast and devotions, and then attend specially designed classes.
Teen Challenge has a curriculum that we've developed over the last 50 years that really helps them disciple them to figure out how to have relationships with others as well as to get to know themselves.
Many centers offer special educational work programs at either their own training facilities or in the local community.
Our car wash, I have people, the banker comes to me and says, what do you do to those guys at the car wash? I said, what do you mean? He says, I've never been to a place like it. Besides being, you know, clean, I said, I've never seen so many happy people. And I said, oh, well, no, those are all drug addicts in rehabilitation. What?
On-the-job training helps students learn interpersonal and technical skills. It develops discipline and reinforces responsibility. It also serves to encourage students to become active in their own treatment, as well as foster the habits that are needed for stable lives.
I've always said a good faith-based evangelical rehab program is a little bit like a home, a little bit like a church, a little bit like the army, and a little bit like a Bible school.
The student's day may end with personal recreation. They might spend time on their daily assigned chores around the center, attend group choir practice, or take time to study and complete their homework. As Teen Challenge has grown over the years, so has its range of programs. New and innovative concepts, like the Home of Hope, allow women and their children to live together while they begin to heal their lives and relationships.
I would have him laying in the crib right there, and I would turn my back and stick a needle in my arm. And I thought that that was the way I was to live for the rest of my life. I didn't think that I could ever stop.
When I see a mom come in with a young child, and this child has been battered and abused, and her mother was out there addicted, prostituting herself, and now here at Teen Challenge, they've fallen in love with God, and the mom falls in love with her child all over again.
2006 would be the first Christmas that I spent completely sober with my daughter and my son, and got to actually spend quality time and quantity time with them, interacting with one another, and their mom was completely sober.
The program has continued to grow to meet the needs of communities. Today, drug prevention strategies like after-school programs aimed towards at-risk youth are as much a part of the Teen Challenge ministry as rehabilitation.
What you're experiencing is hope, because so many of the kids who live in our neighborhood don't have a lot of hope.
In this square mile radius, we have around 80, 90 gangs.
The kids see the helicopters at night, they hear the gunshots.
And most of these kids adapt in a way where they have to become cold-hearted themselves.
And I don't want to go to another funeral. I don't want to see another kid suffer that kind of fate.
Teen Challenge, this is where we show the compassion. Most of these kids, they don't never hear, I love you, until they come here.
And so this is a safe haven. It has a table that they can actually work on to do homework and actually plan and dream about a future.
We help them with their homework, but we also bond with them. We let them know where we grew up and that they can do it too if we're doing it as well.
But more important than the curriculum or classes, programs or training is the foundation of every Teen Challenge program in the world.
The Jesus factor is the change factor of Teen Challenge. You know, without the intervention of Christ, there's no hope for these people. They're going to end up dead.
We can give them the food. We can put the clothes on their back. We can give them a haircut. But that only goes so far.
We believe that Jesus Christ is the answer and the cure for people's life-controlling issues.
And in this program, God teaches us to be broken. And when we start to fall back, it's because we try to put ourselves back together.
I thought I had all the answers. And I found out that I don't have all the answers, that Jesus Christ has the answers.
I'm a better mother. I'm happy to be here. I was dying before I came into the program.
I thank God for bringing me here today. I thank you for the restoration he's done with my family.
And all these men up here have been through the war, but the battle's been won thanks to Jesus Christ.
There are times when I look around and I don't see much evidence of God at work, but then I see the lives that are transformed at Teen Challenge, and that helped to dispel my doubts and restores my faith.
They were dying. And all of a sudden, they came to life, and they started to be the boys that I brought up, the little kids that I went to Disneyland with.
Just seeing one life changed, and in meeting some of the young people we have as they've come into the program and how they look, and then see them when they finish the program, that is the most rewarding thing.
Thank you for helping change and mold our child.
We've heard mothers say, I have my son back. I have my daughter back.
And I thank you that you gave my son another chance.
more information or to make a contribution, contact your local Teen Challenge.
Good morning, church. How are you all today? Good. Okay. My name is Christine. I'm actually from Milwaukee, right where our center is. And I came to Teen Challenge about 5 months ago. Before that, I have to say that my life was a disaster. I'm a 20-year addict, actually. And pretty much everything has been stolen from me. I guess just to kind of just give you a glimpse of my past, I started using when I was young, and quickly it spiraled out of control. I was addicted to heroin. In fact, my daughter, who's 11 years old, was actually born addicted as well, and she almost died. At that point in my life, that was 11 years ago, the Lord kind of became real to me because he saved my daughter's life. And people around me were always telling me about Jesus, but I didn't want to hear it. And after that happened, I gave my life to Jesus, and my life started to change, and it got awesome, but then quickly the enemy crept back in, and I backslid, worse than I had ever before. In fact, I picked up the needle at this point, which I said I would never do, and my life just completely spiraled out of control. Let's just say before I came to Teen Challenge, I lost everything. I was homeless. My body was dying, truly dying inside. Felonies, I got my ex-husband divorced me. I mean, just lost everything. But I was prayed into Teen Challenge, that people that just wouldn't give up on me, and I'd always been crying out to God this whole time, but he never gave up on me. I never, ever failed to just always look to him, even in my darkest moments, and he is so faithful. He came through, he brought me to Teen Challenge, and like I said, I've been here for 5 months now. The Lord has completely healed me, speaking of my body. He has completely healed my heart as well. I'm just in a whole new place that I didn't think I could get back to, but he is so faithful. A scripture I'm standing on today is Psalm 28, 6 and 7, which is, "Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me."
Good morning. My name's Lila. I'm 22. I'm from Iron Mountain, Michigan. Growing up, I had a lot of freedom. I had my daughter really young when I was 15. At 16, I started using heroin. Is that making a noise? Sorry. And my life kind of just spiraled out of control after that. It led to an overdose and then going to jail and then coming to Teen Challenge. Looking back on it now, I can see, like, where the Lord had his hand on everything, and I know that he has me right where I'm supposed to be for the moment. A scripture I stand on is Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh and put my spirit in you. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Casey. I'm 27. So I had a lot of freedom, like, not, no, actually, I'm sorry, that's not my, sorry, blanked out for a minute, redo. Okay, I grew up in a really great home, Christian family, my dad and my stepmom. When I was 17, I was plagued with the spirit of rebellion, and I went back to Texas to live with my mom. At 18, I started bartending, which opened the door for a lot of really bad things. I met my husband, Timothy, in the bar. Him and I had two children. Timothy went to prison, and due to unfortunate circumstances while he was in prison, he came out a different man. Timothy committed suicide in 2014 by swallowing a bottle of meth and heroin. We had two babies. Soon after Timothy died, I met my second husband, John. We were both alcoholics. I drank every single day for the past 4 years. Him and I had two children. John was a really bad alcoholic, and he was abusive. When I would talk about leaving, he would take out his gun and dry fire at his head this past July. He had the gun out, had the clip hanging out, but was too intoxicated to remember the bullet in the chamber. So now I have four children and two dead fathers due to substance abuse. I contemplated suicide, and I wasn't going to quit drinking. So my parents introduced me to Teen Challenge. I wasn't interested, but I came. I've been here for 7 months. I'm completely changed. My family is restored. My children are happy, and they say by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, everyone overcomes. And Satan wants to like make us feel freaked out and not want to share a testimony with people, but you know, I'm here sharing it with you today. And 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, for the devil, our adversary, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking those he may devour." So, thank you.
I just want to say thank you again so much for having us. Before I close, I just want to tell you a few ways that you could help us. First and foremost would be prayer. Prayer is the most powerful. It's why each and every lady is here today. Not only praying for the ones that are in the program, but pray for the ones still struggling out there that they hear about Teen Challenge. Second, we have a literature table right here in the back that the pastor is talking about. The crosses are actually handmade by the men at the wood shop for their work detail. So if you want to just check out the table before you leave, since you are going to be in Milwaukee, I'm just saying if you want to come to our super thrift store, it's on 91st and Appleton. If you have donations, clothes, toys, dishware, anything, feel free to drop that off and just stop by, say hi to the ladies, and check out the store. One more way that you could help us is we have an auto donation program. If you have a car, a boat, someone did actually donate an airplane, running or not, we'll take it. So any information you need, they'll have that at the table. But again, I just want to say thank you so much for having us, and I'm going to hand this back to the pastor.
I want to read to you a scripture that I thought of when the ladies were singing and sharing their stories. We look for, parodies in the scripture that talk about some of what these ladies have went through. And even though I spoke on it, I don't know, maybe a couple of months ago, I just want to share with you just for a few moments when Jesus and his disciples went across and sailed across the lake, and they came across, as soon as they stepped out of the boat, a man who had a past. How many of you guys have a past in here? Those that didn't raise your hands, I want to talk to you afterwards, because I don't believe you. It says in Luke 8:27, when Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torment me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demons into solitary places. Then Jesus said to him, "What is your name?" I want to stop right there. One of the things that I love about Jesus is that he cared about the small details of our life. Now, a person that is demon possessed, that doesn't wear clothes, that finds himself living in the tombs, has had a past. Meaning he wasn't born that way. He didn't just happen to think, "Hey, I know what I want to do today." No, it was by a series of events in his life. He had a past. And every time that this troubled man tried to find help, possibly, maybe he was met by opposition from his family that thought they knew what was best. He was chained in that place, not by himself, but other people. And sometimes in our past, Some of the closest people in our lives tend to hurt us when we're reaching out for help. And maybe you're in this place right now where you feel that way. Maybe you're struggling with some kind of secret addiction that nobody else knows about. Maybe you are struggling mentally and thinking about taking your life. And you're believing the lie of the enemy that has bound you in a solitary place and has said to you that you have no worth, that you have no value, that nobody would miss you, and that this world would be a better place without you. Know this, that is a lie from the pit of hell that is meant to bound you and shame you into a solitary place. But thank God Jesus got out of the boat and stepped out into our place of solitary confinement and said, "What is your name?" Thank God he didn't say immediately, "You got a pass and you need to get over it." Jesus first started out by saying, "What is your name?" And then after that, the Bible says he began to restore this man. He began to cast those demons out. And that man, the Bible says, came back into his right mind. And then what happened later was, this same man went back into the village and told everybody what Jesus had done for him. Now imagine if there was somebody in Green Bay that we knew lived in the tombs, was never clothed, out of his mind, chained up in a solitary place in the tombs, and all of a sudden this guy is back in his right mind and he's coming into town and he is saying what Jesus has done for him. And then what happens after that is Jesus comes back again and sets up this town for a revival in which that city has never seen before. All because of this one man whom Jesus saw value in, restored and changed him forever. Your life has value. Your life has meaning. If you're struggling, don't struggle any longer in a solitary place. But reach out to the Son of God, even if you have to come before him bound in your chains and fall on your face and worship him, and he will meet you where you are. Amen? Church, that's why the gospel is called the good news. Not the dreadful news, right? Not the judgmental news, but the good news, that which sets us free and brings us joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen? Would you all please stand with me this morning? At New Freedom Church, I am so glad that there was a lot of people here that had never even heard of Teen Challenge before. And first of all, it's not just for teens. As you can see, some of these ladies are in their 20s and 30s, and it's for all ages. And so if you know somebody that is struggling, I want to encourage you to talk to these ladies so that you can see that God redeemed them from a solitary place and brought them into newness of life. Amen? And so I want to encourage you to talk to these ladies. I challenge all of you to buy them out back there, all right? Buy them out. If I can have the ushers come forward, we're going to take up an offering for Teen Challenge. And Teen Challenge is not just in Milwaukee. They are all across the country and across the world as well, all over the place. Do you know how many Teen Challenges there are in the country? A little over 1,300 Teen Challenges all over the country. That's powerful. And so I want to encourage you guys to sow into this life-giving ministry that has changed countless lives. Amen? So, matter of fact, can I have all you ladies, could I have you come up front? Pastor Johnny, would you come up? Linda, would you come up too? Matter of fact, the whole family, y'all just come on up. All right, come on up. Mariah is here. She just graduated college. Congratulations to you. About to get married too. Life about to change. Oh my goodness. So excited. Honey, you want to come up? Where are you at? All right. What you have standing before you, the reason why I did this is to display God's goodness. Some of these other ladies, obviously, because of time constraints, can't tell every story. But I dare you to ask one of them their story. And they will not highlight the drug abuse, but they will highlight what Jesus has done for them. Amen? And so we're going to pray, and just stretch your hands this way. And we want to bless them and pronounce the favor of the Lord upon them. So let's do that right now. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we lift up to you each and every one of these ladies. We thank you, Father, for their stories. We thank you, Father, for your blessing upon their lives, that they met you in that solitary place, bound, wounded, broken, forgotten, abandoned. But Lord, you came in and you set them free and you gave them life, and that more abundantly. And Father, we thank you that you are reestablishing your commandments in their heart, and that you're bringing peace to them and restoring their heart, their mind, their spirit, their body, and their perception of who they are. And Lord, I ask that you would begin to restore broken relationships as they struggled throughout their addiction. God, I pray that you would just begin to restore those family relationships. Build them back stronger in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we pronounce a blessing upon each and every one of these ladies. God, they are precious in your sight, and we have been blessed by them today. And so, Father, because they have blessed us, we bless them in return in the name of Jesus. God, we love you. We thank you for your restoration power. You are an amazing God, and you have stepped into all of our darkness and all of our solitary places, and you have set us free, and you have redeemed us by the blood of the Lamb. And we celebrate that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Give God a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. 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 Go ahead and pass those buckets. Go ahead and pass those buckets. Please give in to that. And we got some makeup running already. So, listen, God bless you as you give. When the buckets go by, you are dismissed. The ladies will be back there to talk with you. And other than that, listen, thank you guys so much for coming to New Freedom Church. If this is your first time here at New Freedom, go in the back to our guest services. Bridget is waving her hand back there. She'd love to talk to you and get a gift into your hand. God bless you guys. We will see you back here next Sunday. Have a great Memorial Day weekend, guys.